What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, remember, I forgot to shout this out last week, but if you are a weekly listener, if this is part of your routine, why don't you help us keep the lights on by going to patreon.com/kindaneat. That's patreon.com/kindaneat. And pledge $1 per episode. That comes out to about $4 a month if we're on point. But if it's a month like this month, it would only be $1 because I slacked off and didn't book a fucking show for a month. And that's my bad. Sometimes life catches up with you. Life comes at you fast. That being said, yeah, if you guys want to go there to patreon.com/kindaneat, and just basically I say it's like the equivalent of buying me a coffee. Because as you know, I quit drinking alcohol. And that is something that is no longer just a kick. I think I'm just like done drinking. I just don't think I'd do it anymore. Like I used to go on modes where I would just, oh, I'm not going to drink this month, or I'm not going to drink for like a couple weeks, or, oh, I'm not going to drink on this trip home. I would make rules for myself. And I think I'm getting to an age where I just realize like, and I've said it on the podcast before, where I feel like, maybe I'm not necessarily an alcoholic, but I got tendencies, and I don't know. I don't go to AA meetings or nothing like that, so I don't really know the lingo, but I think that I've just learned in my adult age that alcohol is a trigger to other issues that I have, like maybe issues of the sexual sort. I think that I get a little like, oh man, I don't know. Like I start drinking and I just can only think about trying to go find something to get into, which is just bad habit as an adult, you know? So yeah, I quit drinking. It's been pretty easy for me because it's been kind of a slow rolling path for me for a while where I got pretty used to knowing that I'm kind of an asshole when I'm drunk. And so I would go out and just have one beer or two beers and be cool. And living in LA for so long before Uber was around helped me not want to drink too, because I do have, I almost got a DUI when I was younger, and thankfully I got let off the hook right at the last second. This dude was about to pull me out the car and give me a sobriety test, and he got another call and said it was my lucky night. So thank heavens for that. Knock on wood. And that was me knocking on wood. You know, I used to like drink and drive a lot, which is really fucking dumb. I thankfully never got caught doing that. But it got to a point where when I would drink, it was either all or nothing. Like I would go out and I'd be like, oh, I'm just not going to drink tonight. I'll just go out. I'll drive. I'll do an Irish exit and get out without anybody seeing me leave. And then no one knows if I drank or had a good time or a bad time. I'll just do that. Or it would be like, okay, cool. I don't have any responsibilities. My friend is going to drive me here. Yada, yada, yada. I am going to get fucked up tonight. And then I would end up drinking, you know, usually until I was gonna puke or at least pretty close to puking. And then I would come home and text every person that I thought would answer my text late at night, trying to be like, you up? WYD, that type of shit. And it's just unacceptable to me now. And I've, you know, I don't know, as things get more and more real in the real world to me, and I'm, you know, just a full on like working dude who has to hustle to like make the ends meet and make a future for myself. Cause I don't have a 9-to-5. Like I do this stuff and, you know, I live off of this and I live off of old music royalties and photo jobs, and there's no consistency, I guess, or maybe there's no like every month it's like, okay, get creative and let's go and let's get it. So you don't have to have a regular job anymore. That, and when it's like that, I don't feel like I have time to be getting fucked up, because I get fucked up now and I wake up with anxiety. I wake up depressed. I wake up feeling like shit, and I just don't want to deal with that anymore. So I mentioned it like a few weeks ago, on the podcast that I had not been drinking, and somebody that was in the studio at the time was like, oh, really? Damn, that's crazy. I quit a couple of years ago too. And it's just like, I've noticed that a lot of my friends that are getting to the same place as me are all quitting drinking at the same time. I think, man, I've really just come to like believe that alcohol is really a fucking shitty drug, because it's so much fun and it makes you feel so fucking cool and helps all kinds, you know, it's really a social lubrication. That's what it is. It's perfect social lubrication. It makes going out fun because once you're sober, going out ain't really that fun. And, you know, it helps so much with social anxiety because now when I go out, like, I'm instantly like, ooh, I would much rather be at home. And, you know, it helps with all sorts of shit. But all of my friends who I met probably partying or, you know, a lot of my adult friends I've met at shows or I've met through rap music, I've met through, you know, parties that involve other people that are into the same shit. So you meet your friends when you're drunk. And a lot of them are getting to that point where it's like they're just realizing, oh, wait, this shit doesn't really agree with me. But I think what I'm actually learning is that it doesn't agree with anyone. Because now I look at – now that I haven't been drinking for however long, 4 or 5 months, something like that, I just – anytime somebody's like, damn, I got so fucked up last night and then I did this and that, and I'm just like, I bet you they have an alcohol problem. I just really – it's just like immediately where my brain goes. And so – I don't know why I decided. I didn't know what I was going to talk about when I started talking, and now I'm just talking about the fact that I'm sober, and that's it. It's just crazy that like everybody that's close to me is kind of going through that at the same time because I don't know, man. If you're like in your 20s listening to this and you love getting fucked up, I salute you because I wish that I could still do that, but I just don't really have much control over myself when I do it, and I don't know. I would say watch out because maybe that's going to happen to you one of these days. But anyways, if you're out there enjoying a beer, listening to this, fucking shout out. Enjoy it. It's fun times. What an anticlimactic end to the rant. This week on Kind of Neat, we have Audio Push. Now, Audio Push is a name that I've been hearing for a few years, but didn't realize that they had such a pedigree and such a history. They've been doing it a long time, and right now is kind of this is the moment for them, for the payoff to start beginning for all the experience they've had in the past. And they're in a good spot to do that. I had a lot of fun with this podcast. I talk about it in the show. The first time I saw them or heard of them was in 2014 or 13. Vince Staples was playing a show at the Troubadour, and they were direct support for him. And, like, they murdered it. They had all, like, everybody that came along or came out to the show, like, knew their songs. And they killed it, and you could see their chemistry on stage and their chops on stage. Like, they've clearly been doing it a long time together, or doing rap music a long time together and performing on stage together. And so just the other day, like, I've always had them in the back of my mind of like, oh, I should hit up those dudes, Audio Push, you know? And I've seen a couple of their videos come out recently, that are of extremely high production value, and the videos are, and great songs as well. And they've always been in the back of my mind of like, oh, I should hit these dudes up. And then serendipitously, one of their people reached out to me, and I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. So, and that was just like Monday. And so here we are on Wednesday getting the shit in. And, I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. They're cool as fuck, down-to-earth dudes that work hard as hell and have been working on it since they were 13, 14. Like, they're close with Hit-Boy, who actually signed them to Interscope at one point for a second time. Their story is very interesting, and it has all sorts of ins and outs of the industry. And so Hit-Boy, for those of you guys that don't know, he's, like, produced for Jay-Z, he's produced for Kanye, he's produced for, like, fucking everybody, basically. Anyhow. This came out so much or so fucking good, and I love when that happens, when I come in to a room as a complete stranger with somebody and leave feeling like I got a really good idea of who they are, and that is what happens today, and I think you guys will get a good idea of who they are. And without further ado, this is my podcast interview conversation with Audio Push.
You know, on the board. I didn't even know that your name was Ben on the board, but now it's Ben on the board making that shit sound buttery.
That's what
like
it is.
Like my popcorn, nigga, don't try to utter me. Don't you come disrespectfully, don't try to butter me up like we really friends, my nigga. You ain't thugging, see. All day, every day, dog, good. You ain't touching me. No food in the studio, don't do it luckily. Cuddy start tripping today, but that's my brother, see. I don't even know why I'm rapping, bro.
Wow. That was a good freestyle.
I smoked right a second ago, so I think that's why I'm rapping.
I think freestyle is kind of a lost art form. Not a lot of people can really do it efficiently anymore.
Exactly.
I've noticed that. I thought it was just something that...
It's one of those things where I think a lot of people just freestyle melodies now and then kind of go, oh, that melody sounds tight, and then I'm going to go back and fix it up.
You know what I hate? Yeah. I hate how... you didn't even ask me what I hate, but I'm going to tell you. I don't like how, freestyling and stuff like that is a part of hip hop is considered old. Like if you're doing that, you're old, dude, or something like the youth ain't supposed to know how to freestyle, like in rap. Like y'all better start freestyling rapping if you call yourself a rapper.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Period.
I'm conflicted on that because I grew up, I've been a part of the LA rap scene now for 10, 15 years, something like that. And it was something where it was you would get booed off stage if you were fake freestyling at one point.
Yeah.
But then for a while, it became something where people held it to such a standard that it's kind of give it a rest.
Right.
Because so many rappers that are amazing at freestyling are terrible at writing songs.
Ones that are incredible at writing songs aren't as well at freestyling. And it's not about... For me, it's not about, you don't even got to be, when you're freestyling, you don't have to be, this is priced, by the way, so you guys know my voice, if it's recording. Yo, that arrow tattoo's sick, but we'll talk about that after. But, when you're freestyling, no one's saying you got to be Nas. You don't have to be the best rapper alive when you're freestyling.
Jump on the beat and call Joan.
But just kick flavor, some flavor.
You got to at least know how to hit a kick flip, man.
Right.
There you go.
And just do it, though. My thing is just do it.
Right.
I'm not even saying do it awesome. Just be able to do it and don't be scared to freestyle because you're a rapper. When people say rap.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel that.
A lot of people don't write their raps, though, so that's probably it, too.
But how do you feel about this? There's this, big drift between, the generation of men that grew up listening to rap that are journalists now and the kids that are, fucking keeping it lit in the scene.
Youthful.
And they're going, here, freestyle over this, and then they put on a beat from the 90s. But that's a whole different syncopation of rhythm than it is currently that these kids know how to rap over. So expecting them to rap over, a normal 4-4 beat at a fucking 88 beats per minute is not going to work for them.
You're right. Yeah, you know? Can't. I'm with that. Obviously, if you want them to kick some, you don't got to play P-Rock or just
give them something they can do triplets on.
Give them something at least that they're at least... You know what I mean? Familiar with, and then at least then it's up to you to be a rapper.
Right, exactly.
But
I don't know. The whole
get it how you live. Whatever.
I always talk about how the whole Facebook culture of people posting shit where it's oh, modern rap, this is what modern rap sounds like, and it's somebody choking on a freestyle, and they're like, this is how people used to freestyle, and then they post a fucking Big L thing or something. That's not a fair thing. Everybody has an off day, you feel
me? Right.
And just because somebody has an off day on the radio doesn't mean there's no value to their art, you feel me?
Period.
So,
anyway. Not at all.
You guys are rap enthusiasts, though. You guys are really barring out here.
Rap lord.
Rap lords.
I really consider myself a rap guy with a lowercase g, though.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like anybody this is just being
not honest. Even on no cocky. I'm just saying for me, myself, when I rap, when I kick my sermons and I'm giving my story and from the heart, it's coming from me. No one's helping the story be built. And it's real, and to me, it's
so you
it's
take it personally.
Very, and I feel every single time, I approach a song, it's trying to kick new flows, new flavors, new say different things, try to not say something I've ever said before, try to top what I've said.
Yeah, with me, it's more so now.
This is Octane, by the way.
Yeah, what up,
I've
y'all?
Been high talking.
I'm Price and Octane.
Nah, it's all good.
Go ahead.
For me now, I'm just more so, I'm not even trying to out. I feel honestly, if somebody wants to battle, speak foul. If not, shut up and rap. That's how I feel about it. So, I don't really compete as far as other rappers, but I feel I don't think anybody could, can I cuss?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could fuck with us.
There you go.
There's two of me.
And there's two of me.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's wild. Like,
and then we could fusion and then, like, go back and forth with each other and fuck you. Oh, damn. I'm trying to actually stop cussing unless I'm rapping, but dang.
You guys grew up, like, doing this. Yeah? Like, you guys have been involved a long time.
Yeah. That probably has a lot to do with it, too. We're young. Like, I'm 25, but we've been signed since. Oh, well, on and off. We first got signed in 2009. We got signed to our production company 2008. Uh-huh. We got signed to Interscope 2009.
Because you guys got your start during the jerk wave.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
And we were kicking fucking flavor back then. Yeah. But...
Well, talk to me about that, because I feel like in the grand scheme of rap history, I think Jerk is like kind of getting forgotten about already. You know what I'm saying? Like, or like people have pivoted.
Impossible.
Well, because like YG started as a jerk as a jerk artist, and now he's like a huge gangster rap artist. And like, but like Jerk was in 2007, 2008, 2009 in LA. It was everything. Yeah. Everybody was jerking.
It really brought back attention to LA, which people don't want to admit and say.
Right.
But what it did was realistically revolutionized hip hop, because rappers start wearing skinnies.
Right.
But we were like wearing skinny jeans before the jerk. We didn't make that. Like, one thing I want to be clear about is we were never a part of the jerk movement. Uh-huh. What Audio Push did was make a jerk song that blew up. We made the first one. We just didn't take a record deal first. Mm. So we weighed out all of our options, and that caused other people to kind of get bigger than us quicker, which was cool, because that worked in our favor.
But that probably also didn't like pigeonhole you guys.
That's why it worked in our favor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of those, like, our song was huge, 21 million views and all that cool shit. Yeah, Teach Me How to Jerk. We traveled all across the country, all across the world, actually, performing, but it didn't trap us. It obviously, you got idiots who, like, still, like, oh, those jerk kids, them niggas can't rap.
Right.
But then it's like, anybody who press play, they know what time it is, so it's not for you.
Yeah, for people like that, I just feel like if you're still stuck about something that happened in 2009, that just is like, it shows me how far out you are. Like,
and
if you believe, if we're still talking about something that happened in 2009, and you're gonna pretend you've never ran into a bar or anything of me and mine, then all right, fine.
Right.
But it's just not for you.
And then look down at the pants you're wearing, probably while you're talking that shit. You probably are going to have on skinny jeans, because 99% of rappers and 96% of the people who used to shred them have them on, and it's just awesome to me. I've been wearing skinny pants since I was 15. I came from gangbanging and all that, and we were gangbanging wearing skinny pants, but...
That's what's so interesting to me about Jerk in general, is that, like, people look at it as though it was this kind of, like, teeny bopper dance craze, but really that comes from, like, L.A. Man, click culture,
listen,
right? Like, right, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's some banging shit.
Yeah, but, you know.
I mean, but even beyond
we were having
that,
fun, though.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I feel like rap, hip-hop culture, period, is just full of people that aren't sure of themselves.
Uh-huh.
Like, when music come on, I know how to dance, I'm going to dance.
Right. Period.
If I want to wear I'm not going to go and Young Thug it out. You know, my boy got the dress. I can't do dresses and stuff like that, because that's not what I want to do.
Right.
But that's but no diss to him. Wear dresses if you want.
Right. He flexes in a dress,
Young
though.
Thug going to do what he wants to do regardless, obviously. He doesn't give a shit what anybody says.
Right.
So he's going to do his thing.
Right.
But it's just like, beyond that, I just feel like people that try to knock it are those same people that are... They have that pigeonhole mind state. And I'm sure of myself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to... think about it, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, it works if it works. If it doesn't, I don't know. You just learn to get tunnel vision after you go through like that kind of shit. Like, so now it's like, I don't even care. By the time you even are able to digest our art from here on out, I'll already be
over there far.
Isn't that interesting? As you make art, like, people are getting influenced by the things that you probably made a year and a half, 2 years ago. You know, because the process for getting stuff out into the world takes a while, and so people are like, "Oh my god, this new Audio Push is so fire!" Like, and you're like, "Oh, I made that 8 months ago. Wait till you hear the shit I made today."
Right,
like, so that's like how I feel about anything that is critiqued from here on, like, I just, it's like, all right, I did that, whatever. You're even when the album drops, it's like, okay, we've been stopped recording that, like, we're already
on the next,
like, so it's like, I don't know,
but then to be able to honestly, like, be here at 2016 about to put out our debut album, like, and do it independently where we control the whole thing, but doing it success, like, from a successful place, like, you know what I mean, where it's what we want to do and how we want to do it, to come from that 2009 and be here still relevant, still able to have fans tour and be doing interviews and things like that, it's like, that's a blessing in itself, and that's more than what we need. Like, right. That's all the ammo we need to tell you shut up.
How was the label experience? You guys were young, really young rappers signed to a label. How is that?
We were signed when it was cool, too, at first.
Yeah. We were signed when it was super sick to get signed.
Because there's money still in the
game.
Exactly. Yeah. But now that there's not, I can say the only thing I really, truly appreciate from it is the fact that we got to learn so much.
Exactly.
Crap. Like, we got to learn basically every facet of it.
Because you're getting to talk to the marketing team. You're getting to talk to the promo.
We learned literally how every part of it works. Yeah.
And we got to experience labels when they still were moving like labels. So we actually went through media training at a point, which did nothing for us, but it was just hilarious to do it.
Why didn't it do anything for you?
Because they were trying to tell us that actually sucked. Because
like,
it was,
don't cuss on the radio.
Or just things like, it was just making us not be ourselves. It made us super be like all this extra, like this soup, this weird way that was like, that whole first label experience did that. Because for instance, For instance, like Teach Me How to Jerk, that video, we directed that video. We didn't know we directed it because we gave that credit to them, but we came up with the whole concept for the whole video and said every single piece of what we wanted to do. They just brought it to life. But we never intended for that to be like the flavor, how it's supposed to be. We directed
like,
the video,
y'all got
dressed
video.
Like
this.
It's like in a school and share.
Yeah. So it's like, you dress like this, and then it goes from that to where it's like, that's where they wanted us to wear every freaking thing and every time.
Well, it reminds me of like when Asher Roth did the I Love College thing. That was like all an A&R fucking scheme for him, and it's like, now he's trapped in that, and people are like, you're the college guy. Where's your sweatshirt at?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, but you gotta come out of that, and luckily we were able to go through that label process, but then get to see crazy money get spent, crazy budgets, all that, get off the label, then get signed back to the exact same label.
Get out. Really?
Yeah, a year later. So we got signed to Interscope two different times, and then so our second time is with Hit Boy, and so we're back at the label now again.
Because for people that don't know the label system, a lot of the times behind the scenes, it's like different teams managing shit, right?
Exactly.
So it's like you get signed by one team, and if that team moves to a different label, like if everybody jumps from Interscope to fucking Warner or something, then all of a sudden all the artists that got signed under that team are going to get dropped.
That happened our first run. We actually didn't get dropped, but what happened was the whole staff, sorry about the door.
No, it's fine.
The whole staff actually got dropped like that. Like, literally, bro, people who have been working at Interscope and Geffen for 20 years, 15 years, who just popped off 50, who popped off Eminem, like, got fired at just in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And so, literally, our whole team, everyone who signed us and all that got fired.
It was like the great label exodus
of
the early
2010s. Crazy. Right. And so we were in that sauce. And
how does that feel when you guys are like, or is it like, oh, fuck, now we got to start over? Or how did you feel at the time?
At that moment, when we went through that label situation that first time and got off, it did feel like we got to start over, but we were pumped.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just the same as we are now. We're more pumped, but at that time we were pumped. So we had a little bit of money. You know, we had a little bit of knowledge at the time, and I had just started producing.
Mm.
And so we had moved back to the hood.
Right,
we moved back to the hood, moved back to the IE, left Hollywood and all that, and got back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
I started making beats. We did our first joint, Throw It Back, that went viral on the internet. That shit hit a million views and went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We got Throw It Back 2 actually coming on our debut album because that went so crazy back in 2010.
Yeah, that's
whenever
pretty
that
sick.
Was. So that was like our first. Then from there, we did like What's Up. Just a lot of our own solo stuff that I was producing, which was kind of crazy when I think about that. That's the shit that popped us back off. And then so that pumped us up. We were doing shows and just doing our own thing.
That's how I heard about you guys the first time was when you played with Vince at the Troubadour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys killed that.
Oh, thanks, bro.
It was crazy because I was like, I'd never really heard Audio Push, and then I seen that show, and you guys had, like, the whole...
Yeah.
Everybody came out for you guys. Like, it was cracking.
That was crazy.
Yeah, you guys got good stage presence, and I was like, whoa, what is this?
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you guys been performing together?
Since like 08, 09.
Nah, before that. Way before that. 2006, 2007.
How'd you guys meet?
We were solo.
We met at Clement Middle School, basically just playing basketball. That was just...
I was 12.
Yeah, I was 13. Okay. So, like...
So, you guys have been fucking partners for, like, 10 plus years, 12 years.
Right. So, dancing, turned to rapping, all that. We just had the whole... All of that stuff.
Where's Clement Middle School at?
Redlands, California.
Redlands.
In the IE.
In the IE.
Yeah.
Is that the Murda?
The Murda's Moreno Valley.
Moreno Valley.
I went to high school in Moreno Valley.
Okay, okay. What was cracking in Redlands? As your kids.
Redlands is like suburbia.
Yeah.
It's got like some small parts, but it ain't really.
Nah,
crazy.
Redlands was the cool part. And so Redlands is where we actually developed like our skate life and our skate world. And just, you know what I mean? Because that's what Redlands had this ill skate park at the time.
Brickyard,
and that was like so wild. And so, like, you know what I mean? They had, what was the name of the skate shop in?
It's Band.
Band and what's the other one right off the freeway?
Icon.
Okay.
Icon Skate Shop. So that's where I really like developed my love for skating. He did too. Like,
oh,
Redlands.
So you gotta skate?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah. Definitely.
Nice.
We skate on tour more so. So when we go to people's cities and like all the people who come out in the beginning of the show, we skate with them and shit.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a part of the vibe.
You got tricks?
My tray flip is just wet.
Butter?
My tray flip is... I got to do it. I'm rusty now, so I probably have to do it like 10... Try it like 10 times. The 11th time I get it.
I ain't going front. I hit the double kick like second try, third try last time I touched the board. So
nice.
Yeah. I'm in good shape.
Hell yeah. So you guys like really out here skating.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Straight enough. I'll do some good ground shit. I'll whoop a nigga's ass and skate.
I'm trying
like
to
in
get,
the game of skate, yeah. I'll smash it because I got enough, like my ground tricks is solid.
Yeah, I'm not jumping off no rails and shit like that, but I'm trying to be nice like Rodney Mullen nice.
Oh,
like
yeah,
how
yeah,
he
yeah.
can just sit there right there in a 5 feet foot space and fuck
and wear
you up.
You out. That's the
yeah,
boy.
Like
you heard
that.
Rodney Mullen speak? Have you ever heard him like do a public speaking?
Nah.
He's an interesting character, man. I think he's on the autism spectrum, I think is what I've read somewhere. So
Word.
He's like a little different, which is like what made him
ew.
Concentrate
so hard on skateboarding.
Dude, he was watching like documentaries about him. He was like obsessive with skateboarding, like skating 12 hours a day in his fucking driveway. You know
Damn.
What I mean? Until he would just master shit.
I'm gonna go look at some speaking on him.
Yeah, you should. It's really fucking interesting.
Did you see Tony Hawk hit the 900?
Yeah, for sure.
Like recently though.
Yeah. I just
that
saw
was
that.
Crazy.
Yeah,
right?
He's like 50.
He's
now
like 50
or some
something.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
awesome.
Hey, Tony Hawk just is be around downtown LA sometimes. Like, I'll see him at bars and shit.
I will trip.
Yeah, I'll flip.
I couldn't believe it.
I seen Chad Muskin went crazy
really?
At a party.
That's
what?
So you won't believe my nephews get to skate at Tony's Park.
Oh, that's ill.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. Ill. They're like, I think the one that's getting real good is 8 right now, and he's like getting sick.
Damn, that's it.
Oh, yeah. That's when
you're fearless. That's why, because you don't really realize you could break your whole damn leg.
Right.
Or
your
arm would just. You see is the video game version
right.
of it in your head.
Right.
You don't care.
And he started when he's 5, and when you're that old, you don't even have the strength to really push yet, but you get that fearlessness,
exactly.
And now it's starting to get fucking crazy with him.
That's
sick.
Yeah. So, how did you guys end up in Redland? How did your, like, I'm going to talk about family stuff
no,
a little bit
tight.
With you. How did your families end up in Redlands?
My mom, like, we moved around a lot.
How
so
come?
I'm
this is Octane.
Yeah, what's up? This is Octane.
You could cuss.
We moved around a lot. I was too young to even know or care, really.
Right.
Like, I used to just be excited. I was going to, like, new schools, meeting new people. It was only, like, a couple times I was like, damn, new school. Like,
right.
That's why.
But all in California or all over
yeah,
the place?
Yeah, it was always in the IE.
Oh,
so,
okay,
like,
okay.
I think one time we might have bounced out to, like, the Bay, I think, for, like, some short period of time.
Right. You got grandparents out here and shit, too?
Yep.
In L.A. or in the IE?
Nah, everybody's in the IE.
Everybody's
but,
in
I mean,
IE.
Like, originally they come from Tennessee, but other than that,
okay.
Nothing that I remember
right.
that would affect me.
You mentioned mom was like a single parent household or
basically like
yeah.
my dad was around but like not around.
Yeah,
I had like a shit dad.
Really?
Dad, you like suck.
That's an ongoing theme of our podcast. Dads cause all the issues.
Right. I don't feel. I mean, between me and my mom when I was younger, probably.
Yeah.
But I feel like now I'm just able to identify them now, and it's just like, dad, you were a douche. I got to clean all this shit up.
Right.
So,
right. Hey, that's like a real artist thing. I feel like I got the same shit with my dad. He wasn't the greatest. You feel me? And I really say that's like an ongoing theme of this podcast is just like bad dads leave great art.
Bad dad.
What about you? How did you end up in the IE?
In Redlands. We would all. So my auntie is like kind of like my second mom.
Uh-huh.
So it's my mom's big sister,
uh-huh.
And so like. My mom had me when she was young. I was her first son. She had me when she was 16. Mm-hmm. And so she just was wild, and she just did some crazy shit to me one time, and she didn't really realize what she was doing. So I went and lived with my aunt for a little bit. This is when I was five. Uh-huh. So my auntie is like the only one in the family who like owns a home. The only one, I'm talking about my whole family. The only one in the family who like owns a home.
You got a lot of family out here?
In the IE, yeah. And now I got a lot of family in LA that I didn't realize I had on my mom's dad's side. So that doesn't really like count as much for me, but they do count though. Don't get it twisted. But no, so like my aunt was like our savior, everyone's savior. Like she bought my school clothes every year. Like anytime you were like didn't have nowhere to live, you go live with Auntie Fifi. And like this was the savior of the family type of vibe. Yeah. And so she lived in Redlands. So anytime I was like, when I lived in Redlands when we were in middle school, that's because we had to come live with Auntie Fifi. My mom, we all went and lived at her house. And so now I'm going to middle school in Redlands.
How many brothers and sisters?
I'm the oldest. At this time, it was just me, my little brother, who's 2 years younger than me, and my little sister, who's 3 years younger than me. They had the same dad. My dad was in jail all my life. So the thing with my dad, like, my dad was actually probably tight and would have been actually the shit. He's just a criminal and a gangbanger and just a just fucking crazy dude. He's just dumb.
Is he from L.A.?
No, he's from the IE.
From
a gang in the IE. He's crazy. Wow. He's hilarious. But no, he, like, when I was, like, five, I remember just waking up at his house one time. I think it was a big ass boxing match. And I just woke up on the couch and he was right there. And he was like, "I'm your dad." And I was like, "Oh shit." And then so I just remember I was there. I literally remember,
"I'm your dad."
I swear I'll never forget it because I was the kid. That's like, so just because I have a son who's five. So just like my son, anytime I got in the car as a kid, I'm going to sleep. If we're not getting right to the exit or something, I'm knocked out.
Yo, that still happens to me.
An adult. Me too. Yeah. So, soon as I'm asleep, and I was that kid. I'm a deep sleeper. You could move me out the car. I'm asleep. So I literally woke up on a couch from people yelling. And I'm just like, "Where the hell am I?" And he was like, "I'm looking literally 5 years old, like, who are you people?" And he was just like, "I'm your dad." And I was just like, "Oh shit." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is cool. So then, long story short, my dad was like in jail for like 12 years. He got out when I was 17.
Yeah.
Then he went back to jail for like 4 years. He had got out, right? And so he had been out all this little bit of time. My dad's been out of jail for like 4 years, something like that, 3 or 4 years, some vibe like that. But we got to like rock together, like build a relationship, kick it. Like he started trying to rap. He did a video. He was hilarious. Shit. He's like just freaking hilarious. But then he's back in jail because he's crazy. Like he don't really, I don't know.
That's what happens with prison though. It's just like recidivism rates are so high. Like once you're in for fucking ever, man.
Exactly.
It's a real shame.
I'm like a real like IE baby. Like I lived everywhere in the IE, like and didn't even come out of the IE. I never spent a night outside of the IE till I got signed.
Really?
Like I never have even, I would go out of the IE and shit, but like I was a real IE
That's
kid.
So interesting to me because I figured living in LA at the time that the jerk scene was cracking off and figuring that you guys' first big song was like that was a jerk song.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you guys were taking like convoys out to West LA and like hanging out in certain scene areas where that was cracking. Cause I could be completely wrong, but it seemed like the epicenter of like the jerk movement was like Westchester or some
shit. Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, couldn't even really tell you where the epicenter of like to really be real.
Yeah.
I wasn't into like, I'm going to the,
you know what I'm saying? That's like, just what was cracking at the time.
But it's more so a party day.
Right, exactly.
We were big in, like, before all of the rap stuff took off, we were huge in the crump world. So in the crump scene and crump dancing, we were huge in that. Like I was
clowning
like,
and shit.
All that shit. We were huge in that. So a lot of like all the people from Rise, from Todd Eyes, Mijo, every single person from Miss Prissy, all of them, that's how we learned the jerk. Was at Miss Prissy's event. Like, so literally all those people we knew. So that's like how we had a relationship with the Rejects, T-Fly, a lot of these people, Chris Brown, we knew early in the game. You know what I mean? And so this is all through Crump. We built these relationships. And so that's why we would travel out to LA, things like that. I would come out here, but I never spent a night.
Uh-huh.
And that's a big deal to me. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's so easy to spend a night. LA is an hour away. Why did I never spend a night out here?
Right.
You know, so that, but I would have to go home.
How did you guys find out about those kind of, like the Crump events and shit? Like, how do you get involved with that initially?
Oh, that just came from being sick at what we act like. Being sick in the IE, you just find out where the actual crump sessions and like right. where everybody else is doing it at. So it was a real underground wave.
But that was,
like
in the stuff that you see, that was huge.
Yeah, the stuff that you light. See on the movies, we were in there. It for real.
Right.
Like, he was in it for real. Like, right. like we were really in it for real.
No, it saved our lives.
Movies don't do it any justice.
It saved
just
our lives.
Come clean. The movies don't do it any justice. But like,
right? Because like I've seen Rise, and I was in L.A. during that time. I'm not from here, but I would be around and see like that kind of shit cracking off at rap shows, even like just little circles
yeah.
and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's like. In that movie Rise, they touch on it a little bit where it's like a big ass competition in like a little gymnasium or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like those must have been like your weekends.
Every week. Every day, every week.
That's
every,
so cool.
We were going to people's garages yeah, battling. Like, it was
all the weekdays after you got out of school, you went to people's house and you would train.
That's so tight.
And you would every train day. For the weekend because that's when the actual sessions were.
Wow.
It was life changing and it was dope at the time because a lot of it was spiritual. You know, a lot of it was built at that time around spiritual,
around, like,
spirituality
yeah.
and church and stuff at that time. So,
is it Tommy the Clown?
Well, Tie Dyes was like the dude invented crump. Tommy the Clown invented clown dancing. We clowned when we were kids, you know what I mean? Which was fun
but
too.
Even
I did,
that, was
that saved
of
my
like,
life.
That was kind of a spiritual thing
Man,
too,
that
right?
shit was no? fun too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was yeah. cracking. All that stuff was dope.
Right.
But the cool thing is like at the time, you know, when we would be dancing, like for me, when I was dancing, I was not in the streets. Like I was like over all that shit. So
yeah.
when you danced, you could. Like gangbangers didn't even mess with the dancers.
Right.
You know what I mean? They always got passes. Like, oh, if you dance, you cool. Like, oh, he danced.
Right.
He,
straight
he,
up.
He,
okay.
So that was cool. Like, and we really loved it. You know what I mean? And so that's how we built those relationships, learned that shit, and, you know.
I have, like, kind of a sociological question, and if this question doesn't make sense or if it's inaccurate, I'm just going to edit it out. But here's the thing. I've always heard, like, that a lot of families got displaced to the IE because as neighborhoods in Los Angeles, like in South LA, were getting gentrified, and like gang culture was picking up in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like families were getting in trouble, fathers were ending up in jail, and then everybody was like moving to the IE because it's cheaper there.
Yeah, so people, yeah. what how it happened? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, how it happened was like you're saying, the street shit started getting heavy out here because
right.
the IE was initially like the valley.
Right.
You know, like the desert type shit, I guess, the valley. So
I mean,
wasn't,
I could imagine that 30 years ago it was probably empty.
Yeah, so it wasn't
yeah.
it wasn't just like crazy like that, but it's huge. You know
right.
what I mean? It's huge. It's 2 million people out there right now. But so that's now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, like, if you, like, care about, like, me, I cared about shit like this because I gangbanged.
Yeah.
But, like, Tookie, when Tookie ran and, like, was hiding out, he was hiding out in the IE.
Right.
You know, that was back then before people were moving out there. You know what I mean? But when that gang culture did start picking up, that is where they were going because, like you said, it was cheap.
To jump the heat.
Yeah, it was cheap
yeah.
to get away from the drama.
Right.
You know, people, but what they didn't realize were they brought the drama.
Right.
Y'all are the drama.
Right.
It don't matter where you live.
Yeah, because now all that gang culture have just moved from LA
yeah.
to the, and it's the same thing with like Palmdale and that area.
Any of that.
Yeah.
There's, man, it's everywhere.
Right.
It's everywhere. That's what people don't understand. And now, like right now, the IE is the murder capital of California right now. The Inland Empire has the highest murder rate in California, which isn't tight. Like, I'm not saying that because
right.
that's cool. I'm saying that because that's the reason why
that's
we
serious.
Are how we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we are the Good Vibe Tribe and we rock how we rock because, like, the homie Hefty just got killed with his 9-year-old kid. They killed him and his 9-year-old son in front of a liquor store. You know what I mean? Like, those type of moments we got to go
real,
through
right?
on
those
a daily. On a daily. You know what I mean? I'm losing people every year.
And that's somebody
streets,
that
so.
We started, like, in the crump.
He
like, in crump world, like, he was one of the first people out. Out in the IE, like when you would think IE dancers, that was one of the people.
Straight up. But, you know.
What age were you starting to get involved with that culture?
Gangbanging?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to be real with you. Like, I literally was always in and out of it, man. I thought I started gangbanging when I was 5 years old, literally.
No
like,
shit.
Me and my cousin City, rest in peace, we really, like, put each other on as cribs when we was five, like,
wow.
on some goofy shit.
Yeah.
And just because our cousins around us did it, and my big cousin Leo always had money growing up.
How much older were your cousins?
My big cousin Leo and my cousin Trajan were the ones who made me really want to be a crib and gangbang. And at the time when I was like five, Trajan had to be like 8 or 9. But
that,
his brother,
that,
right? Listen,
that's crazy.
But I'm serious.
Yeah.
But then his brother Leo,
yeah.
was like Leo had to be like 13, that's 14. So that's so young, right? But listen, back then, okay, so this has to be 95.
Yeah.
Leo's driving.
And that's like the height of
exactly. So Leo drive, like my cousin Leo at the time, he's like 14, 15. He's driving a car. He got so much. I remember his pockets would be bulging when I was little. But then my cousin Trajan was like 8. But he, now that I think about it, he really was only 8, but he seemed so big to me.
Right.
He was like huge because my cousin Trajan's always been huge.
Yeah.
Like, and that he's still huge, you know what I mean? But he, like, he always made me just, we always were in that shit. But then coming in and out of it, like, rest in peace, my cousin City, like, we would always be like dibbling and dabbing. But then when I, like, turn, like, 12, I'll say, is when I really start thinking I was like in the streets. Like, I start selling weed. I got my first pair of Jabos, a white tee. I seen baller blocking with my homies, and I got put on this clique called Ruthless Mob, and I just start banging, like, and just always, you know, and just so corny.
In LA gang culture, a clique is kind of like, well, that's like the clique training is like, ground to be
depending on where you at. Like, so, I mean, because you got some cliques that's, like, the clique is they shit. Like, you know what I mean? And that is they gang. Right. You know what I mean? They just call it a clique because, you know, a gang is is considered a hood.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you got a hood, you got a region, like, where you from, where you at. You know what I mean? But then cliques, you could start a whole clique of just you and your homies. And that's how it started when we young. You know what I mean? Young, you start and you just got your little clique. And that's why Ruthless Mob, that was our clique. You know what I mean? Then I was, you know, then we had, like, I remember I got DP when I was 13. That's how I broke my wrist. That's the only bone I've ever broken in my life because I got a DP when I was 13. I was late for a hood meeting. Mm. At 13 years old, my mom would let me leave the house. Like, how y'all gonna get mad at me? You feel me? I literally got to the park and, like, a group of the homies was, like, right there. And then I already knew something was gonna happen. I just didn't know. And they tried to, like, one of the homies tried to, like, walk me over to the side. And then I looked back and I seen all them coming at me. So I knew it was finna come. I tried to push them off me. And then he, like, did this shit to scoop me.
Ooh.
And, like, I fell on my wrist, and they all just started drilling on me. Boom, 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 boom. But then I turned. I was lightheaded, and I didn't know why the fuck I'm lightheaded. I'm like, what's wrong with me? And then I turned over.
Your wrist is
and my wrist was, like, dangling. Like, I was like, yo.
Yeah, so you're, like, borderline in shock.
Bro, I was fully in shock. Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Jesus Christ. That's crazy, man.
But, yeah.
Did you have a similar experience growing up with that?
Nah, me with gangbanging, I just feel like, I mean, I was being that all my homies was around it, I guess. I was always around it, but I just always knew it wasn't for me. Like, I knew how to fight. Like, I knew how to protect myself.
Right.
I never just got in. I had other shit I was trying to do. Like,
you know,
I was
what's
playing
interesting?
Basketball, dancing. I just had other shit I just wanted to do.
A lot of folks that I have on the show that grew up in L.A., like, that's kind of the thing. It's either like, yeah, you're either, you just know that you want to do it, or like, you just kind of know it's not for you. And that's like, it's a choice.
But then you got, I done seen instances where like somebody don't do it, but then something will happen to one of their relatives.
And
you
got
it. And now you got to do it.
And then be the savages.
Yeah. So I've seen it like that too.
Right.
But it's like, luckily for me, nobody, like all my homies was, I mean, we are.
Cause that's what, for me too, that's what sparked a lot of my, like, getting back in it and going head on and shit. Like, when I would be younger, you know what I mean? Being 13, 14, niggas ain't really getting killed. They just, you scrapping.
Right.
You might, like, I remember the homie got stabbed and
I think
they, like, sliced his chest open and shit like that with a screwdriver. Stuff like that's happening. But you, that's kid shit because you really ain't, you don't got a gun. But once the homie start getting killed.
Once niggas start dying, like, really dying. Like, I remember when the homie start really dying, I was like, yeah, okay.
It started getting cracking.
Like, it's not nothing to play with. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, this is not something I'm about to give my life over. Like, nah.
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna ask, when you guys met, were you kind of instant friends?
Yeah, but no. So when we first met, yeah, I'm gonna say what, the only reason I say no is because when we first met, literally, I'll never forget it. We were on the basketball court, and it was like in the morning. Obviously, like, you get to school early, so you everywhere could hoop before school because you know everybody don't got the same recess or the same lunch. So where everybody meet up for sure is in the morning. You know what I mean? So I remember, like, coming in the mornings, and we was on different teams. I just remember I kept trying to block. I remember one specific game, I kept trying to block this nigga's shot, and I could not do it. It was my only goal. Like,
so you just get frustrated?
To swat him. I wasn't even frustrated. I just was like, every time I'm like running at this buffer trying to swat him, and it was not happening. I just remember that. But then from there, like, we became, like, we were, like, like that. Like,
I mean, this is obviously my first time ever being around you guys, but it seems like a real opposites attract type thing. Do you guys feel that vibe?
Super.
Like you're very intense and very
and he's
outspoken.
So chill.
He's very chill and quiet.
Yeah. I only get intense like when it's gotta be. If it don't gotta be, man, I'm kicking it.
Right. But I could tell that both of you guys are like heavy thinkers, but you just express yourselves maybe a little differently. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what makes, man. That's one.
That probably makes the studio very easy, though.
That makes the studio. That makes us being a group easy because you gotta understand, groups don't even last.
Right.
We didn't been through the trenches, the up and the down. You feel me? Obviously, of it. We're like, it didn't do anything but literally make us stronger. I've seen so many groups.
Right.
Groups that haven't even like reached a peak, not even come close to a peak, break up. You know what I mean? But the fact that, one, we know who we are. Then we know who, like, I know how he is. He knows how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that the worlds make sense. Like, if we both were outspoken, that shit wouldn't make sense. If we both were quieted, it sucks.
If it was a group where there's two of you, it's going to be like headbutts. Exactly. And if there's a group of two of you, it's going to be like two, like maybe like almost it's too chill where nothing gets done. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. Well, maybe that's fine. All right. But like what the two of you together, it's like, I like this. Yeah, I like that too. Bang. And it just works probably.
That's exactly how it
works. And you guys probably know each other well enough at this point to where like it's probably very hard for either of you to offend each other. Which is very important in a group setting.
Yo, nowadays, that's what's crazy. Yeah. Like, it'd be so rare. And it'd be like, some bunk petty, if that.
Yeah, I just be feeling like, all right, we've been doing this for long enough. Like, even on a science standpoint, when you do something for long enough, you become a master at it. So it's like, okay, we coded this. We've been doing this for too long. If it's dope, it's dope. If it's shit, tell me it's shit. Let's rap. Let's make the hardest shit. Let's get it cracking.
Yeah, right.
So that's more so where I've been at with it now. Like, I'm just aware. I'm just aware now.
I just
want to put out the dopest shit for everybody because I feel like that is what the game is really missing. Like, everybody's just releasing stuff. Like, I want to release shit that's mad important.
Period. Yeah.
But at the same rate.
At a quality level.
Because, at a quality level, but at the exact same rate. Because we're at a new generation where we're just younger and faster.
Yeah.
Like, we can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just happy, man. We're in a good spot right now.
That's good. I mean, you guys' output has been very high quality, I would say. Like, the videos on the YouTube channel or on the Vivo channel that have been coming out this year are like astounding quality.
Great. And it's all been independent. Like, we've been independent since April, and that's when we start pushing out everything. And so, but we had to obviously like get our whole
system going.
Exactly, get our whole system right. And now it's right.
Now that the system is right, it's going to be music rain.
Now,
man,
it's crazy.
Yeah, because it becomes a well-oiled machine after
Shout
a while.
Out to our management, man. Terrence Huggins and GMF, man. The whole team is so sick over there.
Sick. I had a quick question that I thought of earlier when you were talking about your upbringing and your auntie. I listened to like I was listening to this one podcast, man. It's like actually you were just mentioning like the 10,000 hours type of thing to master your craft. Have you ever read Malcolm Gladwell stuff?
Some of it.
He's kind of the one who like popularized that phrase.
Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah.
He has a podcast where he was talking about this kid that was like, he's like Einstein level genius, right? But he's from South LA. He's from a really bad neighborhood. He's this Mexican kid, right? And I'm talking like this guy is like Harvard level quality by the time he's like 12 years old, you know?
Word.
And he gets drafted into like, or he gets like into this program where they put him in all these better schools in Beverly Hills, and he's getting bussed out of the hood to go to school and yada, yada, yada. But his mom gets in trouble and he ends up in foster care, and it like blows the whole shit. Damn. And what happens with people, with like genius students, right, is that if they get taken kind of out of that routine of like, here I am on the straight and narrow, what happens is, you start worrying so much about your real life and like, I gotta get back with my sister, I gotta take care of my family, that like you start to fuck up the other, like not fuck up, it's like the system just like doesn't even allow you to fuck with the other stuff that you're doing. So I guess basically that whole rant or story was just to kind of be like, when that was happening and you're having to go back and forth with your auntie, was there like CPS drama where it's like the family's in turmoil at all?
Nah, thank God. Like, so, well, we had my same auntie that I'm, by the way, I love you, Auntie Fifi. Shout out to my auntie.
She's actually
part owner of my restaurant that we have. She's always been a chef. So
she's a restaurant?
Yeah, and I carry barbecue. So
oh, food. Shit.
Yeah, you got to eat there. She's the owner, part owner, but she also is the chef. And so she's always been like a crazy chef all my life. And so that was like some ill, like my way of paying her back type vibe.
That's dope, man.
Some way like that.
Carrie's Barbecue, you said?
Yeah, Carrie's Barbecue in San Bernardino.
Oh, in San Bernardino.
In the heart, yeah.
Next time you guys go to a festival in San Bernardino, go check out Carrie's Barbecue.
Exactly. If we're not catering it already, which I'm making sure that happens. When I was going through all those things, actually this same auntie,
yeah,
this is why she's so awesome and powerful and incredible. Like, she had already adopted my other two cousins. Okay, so my grandma had three daughters. My auntie Fifi, she's going to be so pissed I'm calling her Fifi. But her name's Janetta. But my auntie Fifi, her sister, my auntie Shakita, and then my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom's the baby. And so my auntie Shakita, she just was like heavy in the streets too. Mm-hmm. Like, because my family was involved with, you ever heard of Jim Jones? The real Jim Jones?
Yeah.
And the whole massacre. Yeah. So I lost an auntie in that. And like, my family used to go to his church. My auntie Shakita used to go to his church. My mom went, like, all it was deep. And so when that happened, it like brought drugs into my family like crazy. So my auntie Shakita started like just wilding, and long story short, she lost her two daughters. So they lived with my aunt. And when I moved with them, they were in the system, you know. And so our shit wasn't messy like that with my mom. It was just some, you're young,
somebody's in the system, it's hard to like get them. Yeah. It's hard to get all the right paperwork.
Exactly.
Right?
But yeah, the cool thing is that they're in the system, but going with my aunt versus right, like going to foster home, her having to get them and these right, different things
right,
that was happening here and there. But my aunt was that auntie.
Yeah.
She was that sister who was like, take care of the kids. She's not going to let nobody's yeah, kids be in the system. But sadly, my auntie Shakita had a little bit too many kids. And so
right,
she couldn't save everybody. You know what I mean?
Right,
but
right,
she, which actually, my auntie actually has one of her, that's crazy to think about that, because my auntie has my little cousin Kanye who lives with her.
Yeah.
His name's really Kanye too, guys. But my little cousin, it's dope, but I hate it. My little cousin Kanye actually lives with my aunt, and that's my auntie Shakita's son.
Yeah.
And he's only like 10.
Wow.
So she's still doing that. She's taking care of his
damn, shout out Auntie Fifi.
And when I tell you, like, my two cousins that lived with her that were in the system, they're grown. They're
yeah,
like, they were my big cousins. I call them my sisters, but
right,
they're my big cousins, you know?
Right.
And so we didn't have to go through that messy, like, CPS vibe. It was
yeah,
just either you're young, you can't take care of all of them right, he needs to live with me, or you're fucking up, you're getting in riots at school, you're being too bad in high school, go back, move to Redlands. So that was how that happened.
Nice. So it was like turbulent, but mild turbulence.
Yeah, I loved it. I was
yeah,
like trying to get to Auntie Fifi's because I knew I could get spoiled. She loved me.
Yeah.
That was the reason why I got spoiled. Like I was her first nephew from my mom, so like she was crazy about me.
Right.
So I was like trying to get over there.
Were you artistic from a young age?
Definitely. I think so.
I bet you drew.
Nah, I didn't draw.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, like I drew like, no. Oh yeah, actually. Okay, so I always had hair my whole life.
Yeah.
So
lucky you, man. You got a lot of hair.
Yeah.
I don't have.
For this, I had just an afro. I used to get it braided by every day.
Yeah.
On my papers, I used to just draw this little dude. I still draw him all the time. It's like this little dude, but his hair is super big, afro.
Yeah.
And that's how I write my names. In my science class, that was like my fifth period, I just draw the little dude, and
yeah,
that was my name on the paper. She just let me do that.
That's
shit. Shout out Miss Dennis at Cleveland.
Shout out Miss Dennis. You just had like a symbol. You were like Prince from a young age.
Straight up. Like, straight up. So like that. But other than that, I don't consider myself, I never considered that drawing, because like my big brother, shout out Big E, this nigga's like incredible. Like
yeah,
he can draw. I used to be like, what the, like,
right,
yeah. So like when I would draw, I just thought it was like nothing. But
when you look back at yourself as a kid, how do you see yourself? Were you a daydreamer? Were you like a student? Were you what do you look back at as yourself, or look back at yourself as?
I just knew that I was going to do whatever I liked doing. Like, and I tried all of it. Like, that's what I got to give myself credit for. Like, when I wanted to hoop,
yeah,
until I realized I was like 4'11 in my sophomore year of high school. And
really?
I was short until like literally middle of my sophomore year, starting junior year. I was not a tall nigga.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah, until then, I was like, I didn't care. I was 4'11", like, yo, Muggsy Bogues, that's where I'm going to be. Right. Like, I was going hard. Like, until I realized and went into there, like, that it wasn't that. When I tried football, I really tried it. Yeah. Like, until I got smacked by somebody that's really an NFL player now. So it's like, I knew that wasn't for me. But I tried everything. That's what I would say, like, about my kids. So skating, everything.
You had heart. You would put your whole like, I'm just not
afraid to, yeah. I'm not afraid to be like, you know what? If it don't work, I'm a human. Like, I just always knew that. Like, messing up was part of it to me. Like, it's like, if you mess up, I was never, like, I think it's because I learned skateboarding so early.
Right.
Like, fucking up is a part of it. So, like, once I've learned that, it was like, I felt like I could just try and do anything.
Right, because to really get good at skating, you have to be, like, you gotta so really dedicated, but also so patient. And, like,
so patient.
So willing to fail. Like, it's not, it's like the getting back up is the most important
thing. That's like, I'm damn near going to make my son learn to skate, because that's, like, something that you should teach. That. It teaches you patience, and it teaches you to keep trying, because the moment you do it, you try 50 times. But when you finally land that damn kickflip, it's like, what is sex?
I think, what is money? Right. I think that's my biggest thing about skating. Like, even like times like now, like when we're recording so much, we can't skate. Like, we're just doing too much. Like, we just don't get to skate. I respect it so much because you're literally giving your whole entire body just to figure out if you can land on a piece of wood on just to see if you can do it. Like,
man, you know
that
what?
That type of dedication.
I tried to pick one up when I was a kid, and I didn't have that heart for it. And it's funny when I watch my little nephew doing it, and you see, like, how obsessed as an 8-year-old. Like, he turns into a full-on fucking adult trying to get a trick where it's like, he's getting frustrated. He's like just so zoned in. And you're like, whoa. And I'm just like, I look back as a 35-year-old going like, damn, this fool, when he's like 20, is going to accomplish any fucking thing that he wants.
Straight up.
You know what I mean?
Because you got to be telling him shit like that, though.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah, like, you're going to accomplish everything you put your mind to. Don't you stop.
Right.
That little shit counts. Like, I really remember, like, Matt, little shit like that people told me when I was younger.
Yeah,
definitely.
So now I make a point for kids. I just feed them all type of ill shit.
I'm the same way. You know what's funny? Like, specifically talking about that with him, like, so I'll see him get frustrated, and I'll be like, yo, man, you're going to land a trick if you think that you're going to land the trick. Like, if you get positive with it and don't be like, oh, I'm so mad. Get like, this is the one. This is the time I'm going to land it. And I'll pump him up like that, and like, two more tries, he got it. You know what I mean?
And so
I just feel like applying that kind of
that's
shit.
That's the age, When they're that young, you got to teach them that they can do anything.
Right.
Because, like, as a kid, I feel like trying all that shit self-taught me into knowing that I can do anything. But to put your kid on the fast track to chasing his dream, just let him know he can do anything.
Absolutely.
Man. Like, straight up.
Yeah. Man, on that same note, like, there's this little kid that – He's a Razor scooter. He's a pro Razor scooter kid.
You know?
man, I forget his name. But like
how many tricks can you even do?
No, bro, I'm telling you, I can't remember his name, but this motherfucker is like legit famous. I'm talking like millions of YouTube followers, millions of Instagram followers, right? And so that's what's so crazy with like little kids now is that they're on Instagram. You know what I mean? Like he got an Instagram account. Like his friends got Instagram accounts.
Right.
They fucking DM each other and shit. Right. And so one day, one of his little homies was like, "Yo, I saw such and such his friend, the like pro Razor scooter. I saw him at the skate park." And they're like, they started brainstorming like, "Oh man, you know what? We should start doing that. We should like start vlogging every day and like recording." And I'm like trying to tell them like, "Hey, you're right. You should be doing that. But I also want you to understand like how hard that kid works at that to have those 16 million Instagram followers. Like you don't understand that his whole life revolves around that."
Right.
So like, I love
but
that
to know
hustle.
That them dudes is already 8 plotting.
Thinking that, man.
I used to be 8 recording though, like every day. So that's why hearing shit like that, like I used to go record at my grandma's with my cousins, like steal her tapes and grab a boombox that had the little mic import right there and go put it next to the TV. And we used to make songs every damn day. Like,
that's so tight.
Every day. Like we weren't playing.
Who were you guys listening to when you were kids?
My first rap album that I ever owned that was like mine. I didn't buy it, but my homie Luis bought it for me. It was the Marshall Mathers LP. Ooh. I used to listen to like everything, but that was the first CD that was mine.
That's true.
I used to like, my mom didn't even know I had it. So that's how much, you got to imagine how much I used to study that shit because no one even knew I had it. I used to just be listening on my own, which is so eerie when you think
like
about it.
So you were like 9 years old probably.
Yes, listening to this nigga kill his wife, kill his mom, everybody. But then I also heard that I don't do black music, I don't do white music. I make fire music for high school kids. Put Liza risk when I drive like this. Right. I put wives at risk with a knife like this. Like, ooh, early hearing that type of gangster shit.
Oh, man, that's what I'm trying to think. I came from so many directions. Like, okay, so I got a big brother, again, Big E.
Yeah.
He was big on, like, the hip-hop. He's the reason my freestyling is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's because the first things I can remember as far as, like, real veteran rap and hip-hop-wise watching was, like, shit like The Wake Up Show. He would buy the VHS of that.
Oh, shit.
So I got to see the real Eminem freestyle.
Yeah.
Every night, damn near, because he would play this shit all the time. So I got to see that when it first happened.
Wow.
So I got to see all that type of stuff. So I got that whole value of the whole freestyle. Then, of course, I'm coming home to BET regardless. So I'm getting Bow Wow. I'm getting all of that. So I wanted to be like little Bow Wow off rip. Then my mom is playing Mary J., all of the ODs, all of that. So I had a mix of everything.
You had like a well-rounded lot of musical influences.
I'm riding home. My big brother would pick me up from middle school every day. He'll play like anything from MF Doom to Wu-Tang. Like, so it was ridiculous.
Nice.
Like to this day, I think that's probably my biggest unpopular. I'd probably get jumped for this if I'm like around people that knew this. But like, I've never been a fan of like MF Doom's music.
Really?
He was somebody whose flow was the first flow I ever didn't understand.
Yeah. You know what? When I first heard it, it almost left a bad taste in my mouth. Pause. But like now, I look back and I'm like,
I rock with MF Doom's movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love the fact that he has a cult following. But as far as like music, me and my big brother, that's somebody that, because he rides for MF
Doom. It's an
Doom,
acquired taste, but I love it now.
Yeah.
You know what's weird that you just brought that up? I was listening to NPR today and they played Rap Snitches, the instrumental. Rap Snitches, telling all their business. They own Star Witness. They was playing that beat on NPR and I was like, oh shit. MF Doom, it has some wild flows though when you go back now. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
do.
You're like, damn, the rhyme schemes are just crazy.
Don't get it. So I definitely get it.
It's also that weird monotone flow. Like, it takes a minute to get, it almost sounds like he's not doing anything while he's doing so much.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it was just like, when I was that young,
not doing anything while he's doing so much.
Like, when I was that young, I just didn't understand any of that.
I feel that.
But yeah.
So how long was it before you're trying to...
Octane, you want a french fry?
I'm good, bro. he had to grab fries. Fry break.
How long was it from the time where you're trying to swat him in a basketball game to when you guys start making music together?
Just a couple years. Like, we had, because that was in middle school, so we had gotten in high school, and then when we went to high schools, we split up.
Yeah.
So like, that's when he was out in Mobile.
You went to Marino.
Yeah, and I was out in Colton and Redlands, between those two.
Yeah.
So my freshman year, I went to Redlands High. Mind you, I was one grade ahead of him, I went to Redlands High my freshman year, and that was cool. That was dope. But then when Ray Real, the one that introduced me to Hit-Boy, the first person to ever produce for me, anything, produce for us, all of that.
Right.
He lived across the street from me. He was like, this is when I still lived in Colton, he was like, yo, you got to come to Colton High this year. Because he knew I battle rapped and I crump danced. He was like, everybody think they tight at this school. They not tight. You really tight at this shit. Like, come up over here. You'll love that shit.
Right.
Boom. So when I went there my sophomore year, he went to Redlands High.
Oh, so you guys just missed each other.
Yeah. So
we would have told Redlands High.
I always think about that. Like, my little brother hated me for 3, because he was 2 grades under me.
Right.
So when I was going into my sophomore year, he was coming out of his eighth grade year, going into ninth grade, so all his friends were going to Redlands High. He fucking hated me
for going to Colton.
What? He could not. I remember
that he had to come to. Yeah, that mean
he had to go with me.
Oh, okay.
So like, I always think back, like, if I would have just been like, all right,
stayed in Redlands.
Like, I always wonder what would have happened.
You guys would have had an extra year jump.
Said that to say, after that, the way we had clicked up was through Crump.
Yeah,
I used to be getting at a lot of people that crumped out in Redlands.
Yeah.
And they was just like, all right, we used to crump at this church called The Rock. And they said, all right, we gonna come with the homie. He gonna, y'all gonna battle. This nigga gonna chew you, this, that, the third. I'm like, all right, bring your homie, whatever. I show up, I'm there, ready to get off, whatever. This nigga hits the corner. I'm like, holy, we hadn't seen each other for years.
Two
middle
years.
School.
Right.
Wow.
So he hits the corner thinking, I don't even know if he even knows like this, that it was finna go down.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I see this nigga, I'm like, oh, boom, boom. As soon as we shook hands, they was all like, what
they
the fuck?
They jaws dropped.
They jaws
dropped. I was their secret weapon that they was bringing to beat him.
You were the rigger.
I was that dude.
Oh,
and I was coming to chew whoever it was. I just knew I had to come battle somebody.
Hey, they said, we got our ace, our fucking ringer
that
over
ended
here.
That ended up turning into a big-ass session. And
that's
so
funny.
That was sick.
Hey,
and
that's
then,
like some Ocean's 11 shit, like you guys.
That is when I think about it. Like, our movie, our audio push, like, what is that, a biopic?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, like, I think about that a lot. Like, we really have had, like, all the movie scenes.
Well, so what happens when you guys, like, when you guys see each other, it's just like,
we just went nuts. Like, we was like, oh, what's the deal? And that just turned into a big old session. Like, we just start dancing.
It's not a battle. It's just like, let's see what we could do.
Right. So that was dope. And then, so then that just went from, that grew, obviously, into as time passed. We was both doing our own music. And then, he'll do shows and I'll be his hype man. And then when I would do my songs, he'll be my hype man. So that's how we just got a feel for each other on stage.
Nah, because listen, I'm not finna leave this out because I'm not ashamed of this shit.
What up?
We had an online reality TV show called Buck That.
Oh, yeah.
And it was based around, Crump. This is before.
On MySpace?
No. Oh, yeah. We was running it through MySpace. Yep. But it was on YouTube. Or we had it on, we actually had our own website. This shit hit 1 million views because well, it was popping, but then what made me really push over to 1 million views is because I battled Tie-Dyes. I battled Tie-Dyes on our reality show.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, it was like a real reality show. It was so cheap and terrible when we were so young, but that shit was so sick.
That's right.
It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, so basically, we've been doing this whole internet whatever the hell we wanted to since we were young.
That's crazy.
Like, since before it was a wave. Like,
Buck That.
It was called Buck That.
Is it still online?
Probably.
There's like some small ass retarded clips on there. But
it's
like,
terrible. But I don't care because it was awesome. Fun. And like, it was like our first time going to real studios. We had our own show, like our first real show. We like documented it all on the little reality show.
Right.
And so, like, we had the show. We built a street team. It was crazy. I battled this dude for this girl back then. It was
It was awesome. It was crazy.
Well, and then that probably built like a little...
it built a fan base for us.
It built a fan base for one, but then when you guys are going off to the labels, you're able to go, oh, look, here's all this other shit that we've done.
Like,
holy shit.
And this was so far before the labels. This was like us just in the streets promoting clubs.
That's like, what, 04, 05?
No, so it's probably like 05, 06.
Yeah, 05, 06.
Crazy.
Like, this is when, this is when, like, RIP DJ Rowdy A. There's this kid named DJ Rowdy A. He would be like California Diplo right now.
Right,
if he was alive.
No doubt.
If he was alive. Like, he was literally our age, 05, 06.
Mexican kid.
Touring. Like, dropped out of,
was
out of school.
He was touring back then.
He was out of school, and literally, he was just like, I can pack these clubs every night. And literally, we used to just promote, throw the clubs, perform at them with them, and just get money as just that young. He was doing this, like, so this, I'm talking about before this was a cultural wave. We were in the IE, like.
Damn, I love that. You guys have such, like, a fucking pedigree and, like, such a history of hustling. That's amazing.
It's crazy.
I think about that shit all the time. Like, when I'd be saying, I'll randomly say that, like, rest in peace, DJ Rowdy A. I really believe, like, he would be revolutionizing music in a way. Because he was so ahead.
Man,
he was like a kid. Touring and making thousands of dollars every night.
That's so
just
crazy.
Off of what people are just now starting to do.
Damn.
Everything that he's talking about, he was already having.
He died in a car
accident. He died in a car accident on a tour.
Damn, that's terrible.
So it's like, I think about that shit all the time.
That's terrible.
So yeah, but.
You know what's funny? Like, when I used to rap, I'd always get people like sending me emails that'd be like, yo, how can I get involved? Like, how can I make this work for myself? How can I get in the scene? And it's like, realistically, you guys are the answer. Like, that's the thing. Like, what people don't realize is that people that really start making it and doing it, they've been working on it since they were 13, 14, 15, handing out flyers, carrying fucking backpacks for other people, getting in the club to rap one song when you're 16 and standing at the back because you're not allowed to be inside, et cetera, et cetera.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Damn, story of our lives.
Yeah, right?
Paying to get on school tours, handing out flyers at all the schools, performing at kids' bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras, anywhere, you name it, damn it, we didn't been there. Backyard
all boogies. All that stuff that it teaches you is like now that the thing that we got that we know a lot of people fake is like, we know we're a wave. Like, you have to be very sure of yourself when you go out in here and do this shit, and that's why we're able to stay and come and go as we please and tour as we please, because we know when we want it to, like, we're about to take it there now. So it's like, now that we just had to sit back and play the game, and now that we know the rules of it, we're ready to play. But it's like the mastery of it and what it takes, I feel like a lot of kids just think you can just really get out here and make one song and get it cracking and that's that. And that's why you're seeing so many kids come and go and come and go and come and go.
Right.
Because they're unaware of how to keep pedaling on the bike.
Right.
They just know how to get that bitch off the ground.
Right.
And it's like, we're about to show out, man.
And within us showing out, we're independent. So that's what makes it the best. It's the fact that we own it all.
Right.
It's all money in, like, shout out to Nip. But literally, like, it's literally all, it's all in. And so we got full control. But then it doesn't matter what we do. I don't give a shit if we sell 100,000 or 100 copies. I don't care what it is. It's all us.
Right.
Shit's awesome.
I try to push that to young artists so much where it's like, you know, getting that instant buzz off of one big song or something, that's great. But a lot of times people aren't ready to run for it and then, or run with it when they do that. You know what I mean? And what's positive about when you've had a long time in the game to learn it, you hit a certain point where you're like, oh, it like clicks and you get it and you understand that like you need to build your own fan base and that the press doesn't matter as much as the content that you put out matters, or like building that, like getting your own subscribers up, getting people to visit your website, not visit clicks about you on other websites. You know what I mean? Like that independent hustle is the shit that can make it last, you know, 10 years to 15 years instead of 2 years. You know what I mean?
Straight up. That's how you get that Tech Nine, that Tech Nine. You get your butt on Forbes.
Exactly.
All your little favorite trendy rappers ain't on Forbes. Guess who's on Forbes? Big crazy Tech Nine.
And that, oh, and then the great story about Tech Nine is like people have just started hearing about him in the last 5 years, not realizing that he had 25 years before that hustle. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
And so you guys already got that 10 years of hustle. And so now it's gonna like you're right. Like you've done your 10 years, master the craft, and now it's like time to release the beast.
Now I just
feel
like now I've got all the gear on.
Yeah,
run it.
Right. So let's talk about when you get signed, and then when do you get introduced to Hit Boy?
Okay, we've known Hit Boy. Like I was introduced to Hit Boy when I was what? Colton, when I was going to Colton High, I was
Is he Ray older Real, than you guys?
Yeah, he's older than
and
me.
And so was he already kind of on at that point?
Nah,
he just
I met him.
Octane was, they were like rapping, like freestyling together in Octane. Like, this dude was one of the first people to ever rap on a Hit Boy beat.
Okay, so Ray Real walked me down to his crib just one day randomly. He was like, I gotta take you to meet my producer, homie. This nigga's tight. So he walked up the street and it was Hit Boy's crib. And it was like the first, same month or week he started making beats or was making beats. This nigga was just cold though.
Cause for those of you who don't know, Hit Boy, I mean, it's produced for Kanye.
Niggas in Paris, Click, Flawless, all our shit. Not all our shit. What am I talking about? But a lot of our good, great shit. He done countless hits.
So, yeah.
At this point, he's a legendary producer.
Right. So, this is when he was like 16 years old.
Wow.
I was like 14.
Wow.
So I walked in and he just started playing beats. And his cousin, I think it was his cousin Takeoff. His name was Takeoff.
Yeah.
He was there and we just freestyled literally on all his beats.
What were the beats like back then? Already banging?
He was better than anybody I had heard. Yeah. That was really probably the main thing all of us had that in common. Was like we were always a cut above everything that was around us.
And back then, like 10, 11 years ago, was that was he like on an MP or was he on?
He was on Fruity Loops. He came in the game on Fruity Loops.
People sleep on
Fruity
Loops.
This is like when his favorite producers was like Pharrell, Timbo. So like he was on some bounces.
When Hit Boy found it, like back then though, he was fire. Like Hit Boy was fire back then.
Like Hit Boy plays beats still from back then that it's like god damn.
I had to be like, I didn't meet Hit Boy till a little after that, so I probably met Hit Boy when they were like 8, like probably 2 years after that or some shit. But I remember just being a fan, like literally going to his MySpace rapping on his beats every day. Like nigga's shit was fire always. That's one thing about it. He always had an ear for production. He just didn't even know it. It's crazy.
I mean, it's so crazy.
He's the one who told us to be a group, my bad.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, tell me about that then, if he's the one who told you that.
I mean, everybody in the city had just seen us at shows and doing our own things. And now he just randomly asked, he's like, are y'all a group? Like, we was just talking about music, I guess. And he was just like, are y'all a group? He's like, nah. He was like, y'all should be a group. that's how it happened. We really looked at each other like, word. And that was the first time, because mad people had said it, but we was just like, whatever. And then that was the first time we really was like, damn, all right, this might get really...
That's
and this
crazy,
was before he ever got signed, any of that crazy
This is at his mom's house in the room where he made the Niggas in Paris beat.
No shit. That's crazy.
That is
kind of
crazy.
That's a dope story.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying, man. Our biopic's going to be all
right. Right.
Later,
right,
though. I'm talking about later, obviously.
Yeah.
Let me play like a Shady Labelhead or something.
Yeah, something.
And, you know?
trying to see if he looks like anybody.
Put me as one of your teachers in elementary school.
Damn, I almost aired out a Labelhead. My best.
what was I going to say? Just randomly today, I saw like that Kid Cudi tweet that you guys are mentioned in.
Right.
He said, oh, shout out to all my young fellas doing it, yada, yada. And he shouted out, actually, he shouted out another dude that's been on the show, Super Duper Kyle.
Shout out to Super Duper Kyle. That's the homie.
That's the homie. He's a good dude. And then shout out you guys and Hit-Boy and said he sees y'all.
That was awesome.
How did that, that was cool?
Cuddy did a YouTube like a little while ago, and he said in the radio, he did an interview, and the radio person asked him if you could put together a super group of MCs right now, who would it be? And he named us and Logic.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like that's anybody that knows me knows about Cuddy, like, and knows like I'm a super fan of like that guy's music. So it's like to even see that. That's another thing that just, it just makes me like, anybody that's ever hated is like, I can't see that anymore. Every person that I've ever admired in music, art, whatever, I've either already met, has already told me my shit's dope. There's nothing somebody that doesn't like my shit can say. Like literally everybody you can think of.
Except Michael Jackson.
Except like Michael Jackson. Except Michael Jackson and people like that. But as far as like your favorite producer, whatever, I've already been told to my face my shit is ill. So it's like, I guess I just, and even then, I never needed the validation, but for the peak of who I thought was the illest, for those people to be telling me, like, my shit's ill, it just makes me want to just go and just,
that's now, a great
like,
feeling.
It just makes me want to put out at, like, the craziest rate.
That's dope.
So it's like, I'm just ready, man.
You know, it's interesting to, like, learn that you guys have been doing this together for so long, because, like I said, when I saw you at that Vince show, I mean, he brought out.
Shout out to Vince. He's hilarious. His fucking album cover with that big ass head is awesome. He brought out who? Common?
He brought out Common at that show. You remember
that? Yeah, I do remember that. My mom was so tripping.
I couldn't believe it. Vince, I hate you, bro.
That shit was hilarious.
It was dope. I was up in the top, and I was like, they had just put out that collab together, and I was like, I was like, something seems fishy. You gonna bring it? And I was like, oh shit. And you know, I look like the white Common, so I was like, oh.
The white Common.
I looked like light skin comic.
That's hilarious.
I saw you guys on stage, and I went, I haven't heard of these dudes, but I could tell that like your chops, like you already had the stage chops. Like you could, even without knowing your story, I knew that you had been doing it for years because like it was just organized, and it was like you guys knew what you were doing together on stage, and I love that, and that's always I just respect the fuck out of that always when I see live performances. So yeah, so if you guys can out there listening can catch Audio Push, go do it because it's worth it.
Still moving tour. First day starts September 23rd with Dizzy Wright. Get your tickets, stillmovingtour.com.
That's right. Other previous kind of neat alumni, Dizzy Wright. You guys are going on tour with him. And you have a song with him, right?
And Dizzy came from the Jerk Movement, which is pretty hilarious, but people don't really know that.
That's
he was actually very small in the Jerk Movement.
No, I think he told me about it on the podcast.
He was somebody, man, it's crazy that you said, and we'll get off that stuff, but he was somebody who told me like a while ago that our show, our live show back then in those Jerk days is what inspired, like, what made him realize he has to have a dope live show back then.
Right.
Which is sick, and now we're, like, on his tour.
Right.
Which is tight.
Right. That's dope.
That type of shit humbles me. I don't care.
That's dope. That's really dope. So just take me through briefly, like, what's happened in the last few years where, like, after you're off Interscope, you've obviously kept in touch with Hit-Boy, and Hit-Boy, like, re-signs you to Interscope. How does that happen?
Just like you just said it, we just always vibed. We were actually signed to Kedis and Sean. So when that had went left, we kept grinding, of course. We was on the always getting cracking.
Yeah.
Christ started producing again, got the streets back hot. It was cracking. Hit did Niggas in Paris. Literally
biggest song
after
of like
that it waved. I remember being in his room the night that album came out, tripping about that song, and then after that,
you know, a song's big when it invents new slang because like people still cray. Say cray
to
this day, like
day
bling
long.
Bling, you know what I'm saying?
All
like,
day long.
It just becomes
that
part
was
of the lexicon.
That one song, you know, when they tell you all you need is one, that's definitely that. Mm-hmm. That's all it took.
He'll be rich off royalties off that forever.
I'm pretty sure,
like my kids will know that song.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like,
definitely. So. And that it was crazy, like you said, like just running around heavy, working with him and stuff. And when he got his deal, like I was one of the first people he called, like when he got his deal with Interscope with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were who we wanted. Well, he had wanted to sign us at the time, but it was like it wasn't like official. It was just like he just knew he wanted to. He just didn't really know how to go about it or whatever. But then we were like working together heavy because he got signed as an artist as well. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we had all these crazy records, and Manny Smith, the best A&R ever at not ever, but the best A&R ever at Interscope.
Fuck Shout it. Out Manny Smith.
Shout out Manny Smith. He came in, heard this record, and was like, y'all wanna sign y'all. I want y'all to come back to Interscope, whatever. But you know, and then we did it through Hit Boy's situation.
What record was it?
It's a song called Single for the Night, okay. Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Shout out to S-Dot. That was one of the songs we did back in the hood. Yeah. He heard and it was a smash, but you know the label's always been just dropping the ball on our songs, which is great. It was for all of that, always was for a reason, because right. It was for this moment now,
right.
Which is 90951, the album where we're at now is for us to now when we blow.
It's on your own accord.
Yeah, it's on our own accord, but now we know who we are. We know our message. We know right. Why we're doing it. We know what we want to say in these interviews. We know it's the Good Vibe Tribe. Like, we know we're doing it for the greater good.
Yeah.
So it's like, back then, you know, I can honestly say, like, I probably would have fucked over millions.
Right.
Who knows? I would have, ain't no telling. I don't know, but now I know what I'm going to do. Like, right. Now I know what we're going to do with the platform.
Right.
You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, I always think about that. It's like, man, sometimes if you blow at the wrong time, like, you're just going to blow it. You're not going to blow up.
Period.
You know what I mean?
And God obviously cares a little bit.
When you're
about
fucking
us.
17, you don't know what to do with $1 million. You know what I mean? It's very, like, there's like, for every Soulja Boy, there's a million fucking other people that you never hear of.
It's a, you know? Right. Right. So. And luckily, Soulja Boy lasted. Shout out to Soulja Boy. His first
Shout
album
out
was
Boy.
Awesome.
Shout out Chief Keef. Most, like, so right. Influential. You just turned 21. Jesus
Chief,
Christ.
Chief Keef was crushing it.
But anyway.
But no, like,
young
that's,
millionaires.
Like, exactly. You know, but at the end of the day, it's kind of about the longevity in the right. Music of it. Because right. the money will come and go. You know what I mean? But if you love music like we love music, I want our voice to not come and go. Right. I want our voice to live forever, Bob Marley level. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're gone, our voice still be living. You know mm-hmm. What I mean? And so,
a legacy.
Exactly. So however long it takes to make that happen, I'm willing to do it. You know what I mean? Versus that quick ass glow, and then you got money and shit, and like, but you're, no one wants to hear your music.
A career is a marathon, not a sprint.
Come on now,
you know.
And that's what we're in it for. And this, yeah. And you got to think about it. Everything, all that whole story we've been given for this whole hour, all is leading up to right now, which is just our debut album. We're just now putting out an album for sale. Ever, right. We've never had nothing out for sale, but an EP we just put out.
Amazing.
In April.
What's the album called? If you guys haven't premiered,
90951.
No, we definitely.
Okay, 90951.
We just need to let it breathe for a second. Okay. Y'all needed to get ready. Okay. It's 90951, and that's both
909. That's the area code.
Yeah, it's both area codes.
909 and 951.
Yeah, so okay. It's two, and we combined it and created our own code to the IE. It's not a zip code; it's your entry code.
Bang.
You feel me? 90951, and we bring you inside of the city. You know
awesome.
What I mean? And
hell yeah. Do you guys have a...
We have a song called Heaven Yeah. So you see how you just said Hell Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a record called Heaven Yeah that we're actually finna jam to.
That's the one that we're going to perform tonight.
Exactly. And the message behind that is about that. It's how we don't even realize how we just subconsciously speak hell into our lives and don't even realize it. And obviously, if you're not spiritual, it doesn't matter. But who cares, even if you are, if you're not... You're right. I'm sure no one wants to go to hell if it is real.
Right.
And, you know, people don't... Like I say, like... We say hell yeah, there's nothing yeah about hell. The law of attraction is real, and what you speak is eventually revealed.
Oh. You ever, what's the Adult Swim show, Black Jesus?
Yo, that dude's hilarious.
He's
we know
hilarious.
Him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's on GTA 5. I love that.
He's awesome.
I just love that show. He's always like, man, heavens no.
Exactly. You feel me? But I'll really be on some heaven, yeah, because, you know, I just really believe in that. But at the same time, we've been saying it for so long. I really was at a concert, and one time he was just like, when I say hell, y'all say yeah. Hell, yeah, hell. And I was looking like, whoa. That's where it dawned on me. I was like, wait.
I'm saying hell.
Yeah, hell, yeah, hell, yeah. And when you reverse it, it's only two words. So put that word in front of it, and you're saying, yeah, hell. And I just was kind of like, my life could kind of go without that. So I'm just trying to force it on.
Nice. I don't like to, like, really put pressure on release dates, like, exact release dates, but is it...
September 23rd.
Oh, so it's already, like, ready to go.
Oh, yeah, it's
okay,
ready.
Okay, never mind. All right, cool.
It's no games.
You know, in this fucking... In this day and age, it's like, people announce stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's like, Detox turns into
See,
Compton.
See, but that's when you're not independent.
Boys Don't Cry
that's
turns
when
into
you're
Blonde.
Not running a show.
Bang.
Good Vibe Tribe.
that was the Good Vibe Tribe. This is Audio Push.
Yes, sir.
Tell the people where to find you guys online.
Everything /
Audio Push.
From MySpace to Black Planet to Facebook to Twitter to Instagram to Christian Mingle to
Pinterest.
Everything is / Audio Push, man.
And audiopush.com.
Spelled correctly. Very easy to
audio
find.
Audio Push.
Audio
yep.
Push. Yeah, check out. They have a YouTube channel and a Vevo channel. The Vevo channel has the newer stuff on it. So if you just look up Audio Push Vevo on YouTube, lots of great content to look through and good songs. And tonight they're going to be performing a song called Heavens Yeah, which you can find us at YouTube, at our youtube.com/ Kinda Neat. As you guys know, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making
big
the shit
bit.
Sound buttery at I Am Database, space with two S's. You can follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, youtube.com/ Kinda Neat, where you're going to see Audio Push performing.
Fire.
Don't forget to go to that podcast app, search for Kinda Neat, and subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating. I know your lazy ass has not done that. Go leave a 5-star rating. Tell us who you want to see on the show, and we will try to oblige. If this is a part of your weekly routine and you're still listening at this point, go to patreon.com/ Kinda Neat and pledge $1 per episode. It's the smallest little thing. It's buying me a coffee per month. If you saw me in real life, you'd buy me a coffee anyway. So just do it online. Pledge $1 per month or $1 per episode, $4 a month. That's it. That'll help us keep the lights on around here. That being said, I had a good time talking to you guys. You guys are fucking down to earth.
Appreciate
legit,
it, man.
Cool ass people.
Thank you for letting us smoke in the other room.
Nah,
and for
chill,
letting
man.
Me just eat my fries during the interview.
Oh, don't try to snitch on us for that, because we're not supposed to eat food in here, but don't even trip. As long as we throw it out outside, then I don't think Kev will know.
Damn.
Good to go.
It's fine. We'll edit that part out. No, you can but yeah, this was dope, man, and you guys are dope, and I look forward to a long lasting and fruitful career for you.
Appreciate
and I think
it.
The Dizzy Tour is gonna be like a great look for you guys, because you guys are talking to him, he's similar vibes as you, just a cool motherfucker.
Oh yeah,
that's bro.
So look for them on the road. And that being said, that was Audio Push. I'm Lee, and this was Kinda Neat. Yeah.